Psalm 148. And let's start with verse 1 this morning. Psalms 148, beginning of verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens. And ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. This morning I want to look at the subject of dinosaurs and the Bible. Dinosaurs and the Bible. The last two or three weeks, I've been kind of taking this time, and we've looked at creation, we've looked at Adam. But so the request was made that I look at dinosaurs, and y'all can probably guess who asked about it. But it's a good subject to consider, because when you think about the world at large, dinosaurs a lot of times are used almost in an evangelical kind of a way, almost like missionaries. But they're being used as missionaries for evolution, missionaries for atheistic evolution particularly. And so we're bombarded with it all the time, from the books that we read to the screens, the television screen, the shows and stuff like that. They always want to talk about dinosaurs as being something that was far removed from man and evolved so long ago. You can't even hardly read a bird book anymore, but what's somewhere in there, they talk about supposedly the birds, what evolved from the dinosaurs and all that sort of thing. But the reality is that the Bible does have some things that we can consider and look at. The first question that comes up is, what is a dinosaur? If you go somewhere like Wikipedia, what they write is that they were vertebrate animals that dominated terrestrial ecosystems for over 160 million years. First appearing some 230 million years ago. And then they became extinct somewhere before man. That's what the world will tell you and tells us. But we see here in our text, I want you to consider, in this list that the psalmist gives, he talks about the earth, talks about fire, hail, snow, the mountains, the hills, cattle, creeping things. All of these things we know are real. And in the midst of that, right there in verse 7, praise ye the Lord from the earth, ye dragons. We'll get into this a little bit later, but we won't find the word dinosaur in the Bible, but you will find words like dragon. And there's a reason for that, very, very good reason for that. In Exodus chapter 20, in verse 11. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 11. In the midst of the Ten Commandments, God says here, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." So God made everything in 6 days. And we looked at that a bit a couple weeks ago or so. And that would include the extinct animals that we find in the fossil record. They were land animals, strictly speaking, dinosaurs. God made all land animals on the sixth day of the creation week. Dinosaurs could not have died out before man, because death, bloodshed, disease, suffering, all of those things are a result of man's sin. When God, at the end of his creation, he looked down and he said, "It's very good." That lasted but a little while, and then man sinned. We read that in the scriptures. Strictly speaking, dinosaurs are land animals, but in a generic sense, dinosaur has come to mean any of the various large extinct reptiles. And so let's think about the various kinds, some things that we can find in the scriptures. And we may speak of dinosaurs as being in the land, in the water, or in the air, taking this generic definition. The Bible does have a lot to say about dinosaurs, even though the word isn't there. And the reason the word isn't there is because when the word was first invented, the word dinosaur was not coined until 1842. It means terrible lizard. There was a scientist by the name of Richard Owen who made that word up to describe these fossils that they were finding and things like that. Well, if the word dinosaur didn't come around until 1842, when was our Bibles translated? 1611. And even when we think about some of the other translations that have come along since 1842, they still don't use the word dinosaur. And the reason for that is the evolutionary influence that's happened in this world. But we do find the word dragon, like I mentioned in our text. In most instances, the word dinosaur could substitute for dragon, and it would fit very nicely. Creation scientists believe that dinosaurs were called dragons before the word dinosaur was invented in the 1800s. Ken Ham points that out in his book, Dinosaurs in the Bible. In order to unlock the mystery of the dinosaurs, though, in our King James Version, we got to dig a little bit deeper. And sometimes that involves doing some word studies and some Greek and Hebrew research. And in the Old Testament, that Hebrew word in the original is the word tanin or tanim. Strong's Concordance gives this definition: a marine or land monster, that is, sea serpent or jackal, dragon, sea monster, serpent, whale. In our text there, "Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps." Like everything else that was created, it was created to give praise to Almighty God. And so we hope to do that today. As we think back to the great things that God has created. In Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Verses 20, 21, and 22. As we go back to the creation account there. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament." And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth." Verse 23 says, "In the evening and the morning were the fifth day." So the first type of dinosaurs were created on day 5 of creation. So, well, I didn't read anything about dinosaurs. But remember that Hebrew word tanin is actually translated here, whales, verse 21. The King James translators, as they saw this word, it can mean monster. They thought about the biggest animal that they knew of. And that's what they put there, whales. Certainly, the verse is true. God created great whales on that day, but he also created great sea monsters. Great sea dinosaurs. In the book of Job, chapter 41... And I know it's not in this order, but the book of Job is the oldest book in the Bible. Job lived to be very, very old. And in the book of Job, there's no references to the Mosaic Law or anything like that. And so it's the oldest book. Predating Moses. But in Job chapter 41, we find a description of an animal called Leviathan. Let's look at that together here in Job chapter 41 and verse 1. "Canst thou draw out Leviathan with a hook, or his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down? Canst thou put an hook into his nose, or bore his jaw through with a thorn? Will he make many supplications unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee? Will he make a covenant with thee? Wilt thou take him for a servant forever? Wilt thou play with him as with a bird? Or wilt thou bind him for thy maidens? Shall the companions make a banquet of him? Shall they part him among the merchants? Canst thou fill his skin with barbed irons, or his head with fish spears? Let thine hand upon him, lay thy hand upon him. Remember the battle, do no more. Behold, the hope of him is in vain. Shall not one be cast down even at the sight of him? None is so fierce that dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand before him? Who hath prevented me that I should repay him? Whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine. I will not conceal his parts, nor his power, nor his comely proportion. Who can discover the face of his garment? Or who can come to him with his double bridle? Who can open the doors of his face? His teeth are terrible round about. His scales are his pride, shut up together as with a close seal. One is so near to another that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another. They stick together that they cannot be sundered. By his kneesings a light doth shine, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning lamps. Sparks of fire leap out. Out of his nostrils go a smoke, as out of a seething pot or cauldron. His breath kindleth coals, and a flame goeth out of his mouth. In his neck remaineth strength, and sorrow is turned into joy before him. The flakes of his flesh are joined together. They are firm in themselves. They cannot be moved. His heart is as firm as a stone, yet as hard as a piece of the nether millstone. When he raiseth up himself, the mighty are afraid. By reason of breakings, they purify themselves. The sword of him that layeth at him cannot hold, the spear, the dart, nor the harbingen. He esteemeth iron as straw and brass as rotten wood. The arrow cannot make him flee. Slingshots are turned with him into stubble. Darts are counted as stubble. He laugheth at the shaking of a spear. Sharp stones are under him. He spreadeth sharp pointed things under the mire. He maketh the deep to boil like a pot. He maketh the sea like a pot of ointment. He maketh the path to shine after him. One would think that the deep to be hoary. Upon earth there's not his like, who is made without fear. He beholdeth all high things. He is a king over all the children of pride. We see this description of an animal that Job knew of, but we've never seen anything like it. There are skeptics out there who say that the Bible must have been influenced by legends. They'll say, well, they must have read after some legendary creature, and that's how this thing got in here. But I don't believe that's so. God's word is the word of God. It is pure, it is right, and is accurate. I believe that God really did create fire-breathing animals. We see the description here with Leviathan. By his kneesings, verse 18 says, a light doth shine. Verse 19, out of his mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. Verse 20, out of his nostrils go a smoke, as out of a seething pot or cauldron. His breath kindleth coals, and a flame goeth out of his mouth. It's a pretty strong description of what we would imagine that a fire-breathing animal would do. So then where did the legends come from? Out of England and China and different places, which, by the way, are very far separated from each other. And their legends go back further than when they had contact with each other. It's because their ancestors remembered such animals as well. And through the years, they passed the stories down. The only eyewitness record that we have that survives of this that we can trust is the word of God. But we know that those cultures, they told stories of such animals as well. And it's not all that far-fetched to think about. I mean, really, when man digs up the bones of these dinosaurs, they can't tell how they lived. They can only assume based off of the fossils. Fire isn't fossilized. There's some things that people see in the fossil record and with bones that they sometimes get wrong. The fossil of a camel looks pretty fierce. The fossil of a panda bear looks pretty fierce. But we know from observation that those animals aren't as fierce as what their bones might look like. And even to this day, there is a fire-breathing bug that exists. It's called the bombardier beetle. From twin exhaust pipes at his tail, the beetle fires into the face of his enemies boiling hot, noxious gases with a loud pop. The beetle's spray is astonishingly hot. a feature that seems to be dependent on the biochemistry of the reaction between the hydrogen peroxides, catalysts that the beetle synthesizes and stores in separate reservoirs. If God put it in a little bug to do that sort of thing, certainly he could have made dinosaurs, dragons, as we would use the term from the Bible, Leviathan, to do such a thing as well. We see his greatness in its creation, its fierceness. We see the greatness of God there. In Psalms 74, in the 74th Psalm, begin at verse 12. For God is my King of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Thou didst divide the sea by thy strength. Thou breakest the heads of the dragons in the waters. Thou breakest the heads of Leviathan in pieces, and gavest him to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness. We see that God's greatness is expressed in the killing of Leviathan as well. When we find the fossils of these great big animals, we can think back to the greatness of God as he created them, but also as he destroyed them too. How great is our God? Far from being missionary lizards, that they cry out the greatness of God. In Isaiah chapter 14, in verse 29, the Bible here says, "Rejoice not thou, whole Palestina, because the rod of him that smote thee is broken. For out of the serpent's root shall come forth a cockatrice, and his fruit shall be a fiery flying serpent." Serpent is another word that we find in the scriptures that is used to speak of snakes, but also to speak of dragons and dinosaurs. Webster's 1828 dictionary said a serpent was a kind, or rather, Webster's 1828 dictionary said a dragon was a kind of winged serpent much celebrated in the romances of the Middle Ages. So you see how Webster used that word serpent to describe dragons. In chapter 30 of Isaiah, verse 6, "The burden of the beasts of the south into the land of trouble and anguish, from whence come the young and the old lion, the viper and fiery flying serpent. They will carry their riches upon the shoulders of young asses, their treasures upon bunches of camels, to a people that shall not profit them." The Hebrew word there is, by definition, flying serpent. So the translators did a good job with this as well. How many snakes do we see that fly? Thankfully, none. Thankfully, none. That's bad enough that they crawl around on the ground. We don't see fiery snakes, fiery flying snakes, but the Bible does describe this kind of a serpent. It's obviously extinct. But these flying dinosaurs that we see in the fossil record, they were created by God. They were real. And the Bible describes them as fiery. Fiery. Perhaps some of them, at least, were fire-breathing. They were created on the fifth day of creation, along with the other winged animals. And we know that they were real because when we find them in a list, like here in this passage, we find other animals listed there that we know. The lion, the young asses, camels, all those are animals we know exist today. Why would God in His Word put a fictional type of a creature in there with animals that are known to exist? They're all literal, that's why. Even though we may not recognize them today. The land dinosaurs were created on day six of creation. Which, by the way, so was man. Man was created on day six. And in Job chapter 40, there's a description of one of them. Again, Job being an old book, he must have recognized these animals. Job chapter 40, and verse 15. So we begin there. He says, "Behold now, behemoth, which I made with thee. He eateth grass as an ox. Lo, now his strength is in his loins, and his force is in the navel of his belly. He moveth his tail like a cedar, and the sinews of his stones are wrapped together. His bones are as strong pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron. He is the chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make his sword to approach unto him. Surely the mountains bring him forth food, where all the beasts of the field play. He lieth under the shady trees in the covert of the reed and fens. The shady trees cover him with their shadow. The willows of the brook compass him about. Behold, he drinketh up a river and hasteth not. He trusteth that he can draw up Jordan into his mouth. He taketh it with his eyelids. His nose pierceth through snares." He was made on this behemoth. He was made on the same day as man, as I mentioned, but in verse 15, God brings that out. "Behold now, behemoth, which I made with thee." He ate grass like an ox. Verse 16 tells us he was very strong. Verse 17 tells us he moves his tail like a cedar. What is a cedar tree? A cedar tree is a mighty tree. His bones are like bars of iron and brass, verse 18. When he drinks, he can drink up a river, verse 23. This was a mighty animal. Perhaps the biggest creature that God had made. I believe that's what he's talking about there when he says in verse 19, he is the chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make his sword approach unto him. This is the biggest animal that God created. This river that he describes I'm told is the biggest river in Palestine, traveling 200 miles long and 90 to 100 feet wide, 3 to 10 feet deep. So whatever this animal was, saying they could drink up the river, it must have been huge. Must have been gigantic. Some say, and in fact your center margin may have the word elephant or perhaps hippopotamus, something like that. And there's commentators that believe that sort of thing. But when you get in there and you read this description and you look at an elephant or a hippo, particularly its tail, it don't have a tail like a cedar. Very, very small. This is an animal that is extinct, but I believe it would have been one of the dinosaurs. Perhaps what we as kids used to call Brontosaurus. I think they've got a different name for him now, but very big animal nonetheless that Job must have known. Doesn't cry out evolution, doesn't cry out the chance or atheism or anything like that, but he chief in the ways of God. In Malachi chapter 1, Malachi chapter 1, verse 3, and I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. There were dragons that existed in the wilderness, in the desert, in the forests, according to God's word. What happened to the dinosaurs? Why aren't they around today? The world will come up with all sorts of things. And I think one of the biggest theories that we've heard is that an asteroid hit the earth and destroyed the animals, the dinosaurs. Well, that's not what I find in the history of the world. Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Verses 17 through 22. The Bible says, behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and every living and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, but every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, thou shalt gather it to thee, it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. There was a great catastrophe upon this earth. It was a flood that destroyed anything that wasn't in the ark. Now, I believe that the fossil record that we see out there doesn't speak of evolution and all that sort of thing, because in the fossil records, you don't find any transitionary animals or anything like that. What you do find is a lot of death and destruction. The fossil record speaks of the flood that came in Noah's time, when animals of all sorts, land, sea, air, they were destroyed. Some of those who were destroyed were dinosaurs, we find in the fossil record. But not all dinosaurs would have died in the flood, because we see here Noah was told, of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. That would have included dinosaurs. Now, some folks try to argue and say, well, how could dinosaurs have been in the ark? Because dinosaurs are so huge. Have you ever found a dinosaur egg? Or seen a picture of one in a museum or anything? The eggs were relatively small. So that means that Noah could have easily had young dinosaurs, adolescent dinosaurs on the ark, two of every kind, just like God had commanded. These fossils that we find in the world today, well, as I said, they couldn't have been there before Adam. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 21 and 22. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. When God made this world, there was no death. But then death came as a result of sin. So those fossil records, they can't be millions and billions of years old. You do realize that some of the dating methods that they use, they only tell us a little bit of the story. Mount St. Helens exploded in 1980. They've used some of those dating methods to read the rock that came up out of that hardened lava. And you know what they found? That some of the dating methods put that catastrophe to be millions of years old. The dating methods don't tell the story. There's a problem with that. But we know approximately the age of the earth, and we know where the fossils came from. You see, the earth is about 6,000 years old, and the flood happened about 4,500 years ago. When Noah and his family got off of the ark, Genesis chapter 9, some dinosaurs would have left off with him. Genesis chapter 9, the earth was changed after the flood. Begin at verse 1, going down to verse 3. God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, upon every fowl of the air, and upon all that moveth upon the earth, but upon all the fishes of the sea, into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. Prior to the flood, man had been told he could eat the fruits and the vegetables, but never was he told he could eat everything. But after the flood, we see here, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. Now, the creatures that they never would have eaten before, now they eat. And also, verse 2, the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, upon all the fishes of the sea, into your hand they are delivered. So what happened? What happened? Well, God put a fear of man into the animals, and for good reason, because he gave them to Noah and his family, to mankind, that they could have permission to eat them. Probably at this point, there was not as many animals, obviously. The earth had been destroyed. All that was left is what was in the ark. But as they left out of there, and they went to disperse across the world, that repopulate and all that sort of thing, Noah and his descendants would have hunted and ate them. Dinosaurs included. There are paintings and legends, carvings of animals that have been made by man. We know they existed together. We know that they lived together, at least for a time. But then eventually they went extinct. Other creatures have gone extinct through hunting and all that sort of thing. The other possibility is that the earth's atmosphere was different after the flood, and some of the animals went extinct because of those things as well. Or at least they went rare and then became extinct. The Bible does say things about dinosaurs and dragons. And we can trust every bit of what it says. May God add a blessing to his word.